If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
G'day, welcome to the show. Thanks for being a part of it. This is Better Than Yesterday, trying to make it better each and every week. Well, three times a week since 2013. I'm Osher Ginsburg. I'm a podcaster. I'm a TV host. I'm an author. I'm a dad. I'm a stepdad. I'm a Melbourne International Comedy Festival show producer, because the live show is coming back to Melbourne. NTNN NNN is coming back to Melbourne on the 28th. Tickets are in the show notes. What else am I? I am someone who's had a day. So it's Monday, right? And normally on Monday, it's just a monologue. It's just me talking about, you know, what's going on and how I made it through something that was kind of tricky in a way that hopefully is of use. Because when I started this show 11 years ago now, I wasn't really hearing the kind of conversations that I wished I could have been hearing about what it is to live with maybe a different brain, or how to deal with a stressful moment that wasn't to do with alcohol or writing a complaint letter or punching someone. All right. So there was a time when I was about 19. All right. I was unemployed. I was trying my very, very best to get off the dole. I was playing in a band. I had a job delivering groceries to pensioners where I'd, you know, earn, I don't know, I think I would maybe earn like $85 for a week of work. And then I'd go to the, you know, Social Security and say, look, I earned $85, and, you know, that would be taken off the balance. And so I would take less money from the government, which was a wonderful thing. But I was under a huge amount of stress. It was very, very stressful because it was full of shame because all my friends were at uni and such and such. But I would be driving and the Mitsubishi L300 van that was their family car and had been repurposed into the band van and was now the grocery delivery vehicle for the Kenmore, Bell Bowery, Brookfield, Chapel Hill, Indooroopilly area of Coles Kenmore, which is where I was delivering groceries for. There was one point when I'll never forget the afternoon, fanging up Moggle Road because I've got to get everything delivered within a certain window of time because I've got frozen stuff in the back and such and such. And I'm driving one-handed on this notoriously windy single-lane goat track that is the only road out to the Moggle Ferry to cross the Brisbane River, and just colossal amounts of cars and, you know, I was speeding, you know, not doing the right thing. And I remember being on the edge of my seat. So I'm driving a stick shift van, right? A column shift van, four-speed column shift van. So I've got to get my left leg up to hit the clutch, right? And I've got one sit bone on the front seat. I'm that edgy, and I've got my left hand, I'll never forget it, I have my left hand on the middle seat, and I was nearly with my whole torso over the steering wheel as I single-handedly palmed the car around the corners, and I could hear the tires screeching and I could feel the back going out. And I thought to myself, what the fuck am I doing? How did I end up like this? What happened to my day? How did I get here? What fuck? And I took a fair amount of time that night. By this point, I had, you know, I was pretty odd, and I'd already commenced work with a psychologist that I've talked about, and I've written about being in an outpatient mental health outpatient clinic. So I was already having a bit of awareness about just break it down a bit, just try to see what's going on. And what I did that night was I sat down and I tried to figure out at what point in my day did it start to get bad. And because was it 4:45? Because this happened around 5:15. Was it 4:45? Was it 4:45? Was it? No, it had been like at 11 o'clock that morning. But I had failed to downregulate and I had failed to deal with things. And as I got more erratic and as I got more anxious and as I got more angry, because this is the time when I'm 19, I'm dealing with things. Oh, get out of my way! I was getting angry. Things got worse, you know, interactions with people got worse. I wasn't concentrating. I was dropping things. This broke, that broke. So, you know, it was all, everything. And the way in, for me at least, was to remember the feeling in my body when things started to feel in this particular way, understand that, I need to take a breath here because I know where this can go. Now, I didn't get it right, and quite a number of years went by where I occasionally things like this would happen again. But it kind of really started this idea of like when things start to fall to bits, if I can choose my reactions really early, if I can choose my downregulation, if I can laugh at something or, you know, reframe something really quickly, the chances of it completely ruining my day or me worse, finding myself in a situation where I'm making really, really poor, really risky choices, which I was driving very dangerously, not paying attention to what I was doing with the Sepultura way too loud. It really decreases my chances of things getting worse. So having said that, today, holy shit, today was a day. I had in my calendar to record a podcast. Now, I am more and more and more recording podcasts face-to-face here in this room that I'm recording this right now. But I still occasionally I have bookings from people that I've been trying to chase down for a long time and they're remote. So this studio can be either remote or it can be in person, but it can't be both at the same time. I don't have enough cameras. I have to change some lights and things around. It takes about half an hour to 45 minutes to make everything look and sound good. So I'm setting up for a remote one. And it's about 5 to 9 when I hear one of my dogs bark and I'm listening to a podcast and I pull the headphone out and then I hear the end of the doorbell and I hear the dogs bark again. I'm like, hang on a fucking second here. And I come out of the office and I start going upstairs and I hear Audrey say, honey, she's here. Because Audrey thought I was going to be down here doing a remote. And sure enough, there's my guest standing in my living room. Hi. Hello. Can I have 10 minutes, please? And so I rushed down here and just turned the place upside down and I built it all back together again and we got it done. But in that moment, when I was down here rebuilding things, I was able to use a further along and well-ingrained version of what I know to do when things start going wrong early. And I do it automatically. There's a book called The Art of Possibility by an extraordinary man called Benjamin Zander. And two fantastic words. How fascinating. So when I heard the doorbell in my head, I'm like, how fascinating. I was a bit annoyed and I emailed the people, got on Slack and I let the people know, like, hey, they're here. It says in the calendar they should be there, but they're here. How fascinating. And away we went. And then my guest left and then something fucked up with the upload as I'm trying to, you know, de-res the footage and upload the files to Andy, my producer. How fascinating. And it kept happening. All right. It kept happening. And I'll be perfectly honest with you. I'm under a lot of pressure at the moment. There's a bunch of stuff going on that I'll talk about later on, but my latitude, my bandwidth to deal with things when they're not great is quite limiting and limited. So I know I have to be right on this, right? And so I wasn't able to keep on top of it all day, but things started to keep going wrong. Things kept breaking, things not working, emails aren't coming back, and such and such. How fascinating. How fascinating. Look at that. I had to record something. I had to get something in the can. Nothing's working. The memory card's fucked up. I have to make a new. How fascinating. Memory card corrupted. I had to record it again. How fascinating. get on my bicycle because I had to go and visit a hand surgeon because I've done something to my hand and I need surgery, but I'm not going to get surgery. I'm just going to try to get by for ever without having the surgery on my hand because he was saying to me, look, you're in this borderline case. I don't think we're going to, look, you're going to really need it. You know, if you can be with how it feels, then it's probably the best thing to do. How fascinating. I get to live the rest of my life with this weird pain again, but it's okay. It's fine. I know what to do with it. But like, how fascinating. When I get to the surgeon, I ride my bicycle there through the park. Delightful. So I'm riding my bike through the park. And exercise, left, right brain. Everything's working. Noticing as much as I can. Tree, horse, cyclist. Oh, yeah, baby, twins. That's a dual stroller. Oh, big dog, small dog. Yellow horse, white horse, jumping horse. You know, big tree, little tree. Duck, native duck, endemic duck, invasive duck, like trying to be as noticing as I possibly can going through the park, right? So by the time I get to the surgeon, it was great. Get to the surgeon, go to lock my bike up, and there's a chain that locks into the front lock on my bike. And as soon as I put the chain and put it into the front lock, I go looking for the keys to finish the locking process. No keys. I've just locked my bike to a railing at Fox Studios where the doctor is. Nowhere near home. I've got to go into the doctor right now. Okay. How fascinating. Get in there, have a talk to the doctor, have a chat. Come out. Okay. What am I going to do here? Having a look for the keys. See, did I leave it in the lock? Did I drop it under there? As I went to look at the chain, I hadn't actually put the chain into the bike hard enough. And so fortune smiled upon me. I didn't actually lock my bike properly because I'm having that kind of day. So my bike could have got stolen. There was a beautiful bike sitting there for an hour, just sitting out there, but did not get nicked, thankfully. Brilliant. Took off the chain. How fascinating. Then got back on the bike and backtracked, rode my way back again. But because the park that I rode through is like a one-way loop, I had to do an extra loop. So as I'm riding, not only am I getting left, right blind, I'm kind of doing an EMDR kind of, you know, scanning with my eyes, looking for my keychain. Didn't find it. Riding up the hill home, get to the top of the hill, go to change gears, light goes red. Oh, okay. Light goes green. Put pressure, you know, onto the bike, boom, chain pops off. Okay, so now I've locked out of my house, no bike chain, I'm still a fair way from home. How fascinating. Get the bike off the road, put the bike up, you know, bing, school gets out, 3 o'clock, oh man, like kids are everywhere, you know, in front of the kiss and go or whatever, hands are greasy, I'm trying to figure out how to, the bike is very tricky to get the chain back on the, like, how fascinating. Look, I can't do that from here. I have to do, like, I've got my foot in there and I've got my elbow through there and I'm like getting my hands all messed up with the cogwheels. Get it back on, greasy hands. Try to clean my hands off now. I'm riding home with greasy hands. Get home, get in the driveway, where I park my bike, there's the keys. And so there's a couple of things that made all of this kind of just okay. A, I had how fascinating involved. B, I was in touch with Audrey the whole way. She's like, oh, I'm sorry. I'm like, honey, it's fine. I got to go for a big bike ride and I got to get the wind in my face and I got to, you know, get the heart rate up. And so I've like almost got this on the run self-regulation happening with the exercise. And I'm also able to kind of try as fast as I can to reframe it. How fascinating rather than the fuck, this always happens to me. Fuck. And then get back in and lock the bike up, wash my hands, and like literally 2 minutes later, jump on the call that I thought I was going to miss. Now, there was a time in my life when that would have never happened, and a day like today would have completely crushed me. I did text her going, the day is not over. May you want to keep your distance, because she's like, oh, you're having one of those days? Yeah, I'm having one of these days. Because they happen from time to time, about every 6 months or so, just thing after thing after thing after thing just doesn't work properly, doesn't go the way I want it to go. How fascinating. But I think today was the best day that I've ever had of these. They happen every now and again. The best day that I've ever had of these, because there was exercise involved, because I was moving. And I had the kind of, I don't know if it was the EMDR, I don't know, I'm just making that up, I'm not a psychologist, but I had the, you know, the activating both sides of my brain. I'm breathing over the air in my face. I know what to do with noticing things. I'm trying to look for keys. So I'm being very mindful. I'm not getting away with my head going, fucking, where's my keys? I'm going to look out of my house. Someone's going to find my keys and steal my car. No. It was beautiful. And so, look, I really hope I have access to a bicycle in a park next time this happens. But if not, I certainly know that I've got How Fascinating up my sleeve, because it really, really, really helped me. It helped me slip out of whatever kind of blaming or shaming or I'm so stupid because I left this behind or any kind of, you know, wanting to put myself in some sort of victim space of, oh, this always happens to me, or any kind of exaggeration or awfulizing or anything. How fascinating. Wow. Well, look at that. Let's see what happens now. And opening it with curiosity and going into it with curiosity. Now, the stakes are pretty low, all right? This isn't a gigantic career thing or one of my kids getting ill or anything like that. But the aforementioned shit going down in the rest of my life, which is, you know, sometimes your life, you have moments, right? You have times when things are hard, you have times when things are easier. Things are kind of hard at the moment, right? Knowing that I have this, knowing that I can do this, and I'm interested to see how far I can scale it, because I really needed to know this right now. I needed to know this today. I needed to know this. Throw some How Fascinating at it, man. Throw some bicycle at it. Then have another look at it and see how big or little or small or solvable this previously unsolvable thing was that was stuck in your brain actually is. And I'm going to tell you now, I'm pretty sure it's most definitely figure outable. That might not be a word, but it is now. If you've never tried shouting How Fascinating, like shouting How Fascinating, Ben Zander says, throw your hands in the air, because that's a physicality as well. How fascinating! Smiling and laughing while you do it. If you've never tried it, I thoroughly recommend it, because boy, oh boy, it worked for me. Bear in mind, when I did it while I was riding my bicycle, I did it with one hand. Safety first. Thanks for listening. Thanks for letting me talk to you about that. I hope you found something in it. I hope you get to use it. Let me know. I'd love to know what you think. We have a mailing list. You can find the link in the show notes. That's where you can also find the link to the tickets to come and see us live. We start on the 28th at the Greek Centre at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival. It's NTNN, NNN, the news show that we do, Real Stories, Fake News. It's fantastic. We shot a pilot. Like 1,000-something people more, 1,500 people or something saw it last time we did it, right? And the show is such a success. What we put together out of that show, like we shot a pilot, we created a pilot. And sometimes, you know, shooting a TV show takes a bit of time and scheduling such and such. So we don't want to sit on our hands, and we know it's freaking fun and really good and it's worthy. Your television network's going, fuck yeah, let's make that. So we're doing it again, and we'd love you to come. March 28th to April 6th, I think, April 9th at the Greek Centre in Melbourne. NTNN, NNN, super fun. And look, March 29 is my 50th birthday. You want to come along? Come along, because that's Friday night. I mean, why not? What else are you going to do in Melbourne on Friday night? Tickets are in the show notes. So is the mailing list. If you want to get in touch, you can find me on Instagram, find me on TikTok. You can find me where you find me. I'd love to hear from you. Thank you so much to everyone that helped me make this show today. Thanks to Andy Ma on audio and video post-production, Abby Benno, who is the producer of the show, Ben and Monica for keeping the lights on at OGTV, Toa Hider, who made the music, and you for listening. If the show brought you value, if you know someone who might want to know how fascinating things can change your life, how fascinating things can change your life, send in the episode. That'd be awesome. On Wednesday, holy moly, on Wednesday, sitting in this very chair that I'm sitting, Abby Chatfield's here. Yeah, Abby Chatfield is joining me on the show. It's a fantastic conversation. We cover a lot. There's laughter, there's tears. There's deep moments of authenticity and empathy between the two of us. And there's a whole lot of talk deconstructing reality television and sex toys. It's got everything. I'll see you Wednesday. Thanks for listening.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay.
And I'm Courtney from LA.
TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more.
Come judge with us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.